This is Pastor Dwayne Kaysen, and this is our midweek Bible study. The name of our current series is entitled, What We as New Bereans Believe. We're studying the doctrines that our church, New Berean Baptist Church, believes, and that New Berean, the foundation of this faith ministry, is in Jesus Christ, and the emphasis is on the scriptures, the Holy Bible. We call it the truth. Acts 17:11 says, "These were more noble than those in Thessalonica, in that they received the word with all readiness of mind and searched the scriptures daily, whether those things were so." This was the church at Berea, the people at Berea. So let's look at the doctrines for today's study: creation, man, and the doctrine of Satan. Let us open in prayer. Father, we give thanks and lift up your name. We thank you for revealing yourself to us through your word. We ask that your Holy Spirit would be with us and be at work in us, opening our ears and our hearts to receive your word with all readiness of mind, like the original Bereans. May we be transformed more and more into your image as we study your word. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Our lesson today will be looking at the doctrines of creation, the doctrine of man, and finally, the doctrine of Satan. So let's look at creation. Here's what we believe, it's a doctrinal statement, says creation. We believe the triune Godhead created the universe apart from any pre-existing materials or through any evolutionary process. Someone once asked me, did I believe in the Big Bang Theory? And I said, yes. I said, you do? Yeah. God said it, and bang, there it was. The triune God, in the beginning, in Genesis chapter 1, verse 1, God created the heavens and the earth. There it is. God created the heavens and the earth. Verse 2 says, the earth was without form and void, and darkness was over the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God, that's the Holy Spirit, was hovering over the face of the water. So let's get this straight. We got God the Father. God created the heavens and the earth. Triune God here. The Spirit of God hovering over the face of the waters. There's the Holy Spirit. Now here comes Jesus. Then God said, let us make man in our image. There you go. The Word himself, all three, the triune God, all three members of the Godhead are responsible for the creation of the universe. It says in verse 26 of Genesis chapter 1, it says, let us make man in our image. Now, angels don't create the way that God does. So who is speaking here? If God said it, and it says, let us make man in our image, here we go again with the triune God being responsible for the universe creation. It says, let us make man in our image after our likeness. God is spirit, remember? And let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds, over the heavens, over the livestock, and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth. So God made man in his image, and man was to have dominion just as God has dominion over the universe, we have dominion over things on this earth. And it's done after that kind. In fact, that's mentioned some 10 times in the Bible when it comes to creation. For instance, let's look at Genesis chapter 1 and verse 21. It says, "So God created great creatures and everything that moves, with which the waters abounded, according to their kind, and every winged bird according to its kind. And God saw that it was good." You did not have any evolutionary creation of something crawling out the ground and becoming a winged bird. This was done by God. So by faith, folks, we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God. There's Jesus again. God did other miracles by speaking. In this way, God proves the power and the authority of his word. That's taken directly out of Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 3. Let's read that again. "By faith, we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God. God did other miracles by speaking. In this way, God proves the power and the authority of his word. The heavens were made by the word of God, the breath of his mouth, and so regarding the earth and its inhabitants, he spoke and commanded, and it was done." Let's take a look at Psalms 33, verses 6 and 9. "By the word of the Lord," verse 6, "the heavens were made." We can go back to John chapter 1 and verse 1, and we can refer back to the Lord Jesus Christ as being the word. It says, "The heavens were made, and by the breath of his mouth, all their host. He gathers the waters of the sea as a heap. He puts the deeps in storehouses. Let all the earth fear the Lord. Let all the inhabitants of the world stand in awe of him." Why? Verse 9 says, "For he spoke and it came to be. He commanded and it stood firm." God created by simply speaking. He said what should be created, and it was so. You can find that in various verses in Genesis 1, by the way, because in Genesis 1, verse 3, it says, "And God said, let there be light, and there was light." Verse 6, "And God said, let there be an expanse in the midst of the waters, and let it separate the waters from the waters." And that happened. We can look at verse 9. It says, "And God said, let the waters under the heavens be gathered together into one place, and let the dry land appear. And it was so." You can go on and on to verses 11 and 14 and 20 and 24 and 26 when he made man in his image. So we know that God has created the universe, and it was the Godhead, God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. So that's the doctrine of creation that we believe here at New Berean Baptist Church. Our next doctrine is the doctrine of man. And here's what our doctrine of beliefs that we have here says about man. We believe that man, or mankind, is a direct creation of God. God literally formed the first human being, Adam, and made the first woman from that man. As a result, the entire human race descends from these two creations of God. We go back to Genesis 1, verses 26 and 27. You see that God was created by man in the likeness and in the image of God. We went through that earlier. Psalms 8, verses 3 through 5 tells us that God made man a little lower than the angels and crowned with glory and honor. And this understanding that God has made man, and he made him separately, by the way, from the other creatures that he made. He made man different from the other creatures. He breathed into man's nostrils the breath of life. He formed man from the ground. The others, he spoke them into existence. Now, the Lord's in Genesis chapter 2, verses 19 to 24, I'm going to read a little bit from that. It says, "Now the Lord God had formed out of the ground all the wild animals and all the birds in the sky. He brought them to man to see what he would name them. And whatever the man called each living creature, that was its name. So man gave names to all the livestock, the birds in the sky, and all the wild animals. But for Adam, no suitable helper was found. So what did God do? He made man fall into a deep sleep. While he was sleeping, he took one of man's ribs and he formed flesh around it. And then the Lord God made a woman from the rib he had taken out of the man. He brought her to the man, and the man said, 'This is now bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh.'" Boy, he was a happy guy. Amen. So that's the doctrine of man. We can touch base with a little bit more once we talk to the doctrine of Satan, which states this in our beliefs, our doctrinal beliefs. So we believe that Satan, the devil, is the chief adversary of God and all that represents for God. He was created by God. He rebelled against God in his heart. He became depraved and he was judged. We can find that in Isaiah chapter 14 and verse 14. "And defeated him by means of the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead and sentenced him to an eternal damnation." So Satan was created as an angel, Lucifer. He was beautiful. He was a powerfully created creature. He can be understood from a certain prophecy regarding the king of Tyrus over in Ezekiel 28. There are some passages that give us a hint as to Lucifer's being. So Ezekiel, in Ezekiel 28, he reveals this secondary spiritual prophecy as he's describing Satan. Now, the physical person that he's talking to is the king of Tyrus. But as you go through the passage, you'll see that this is a secondary meaning, and it has to do with who Satan was. So let's take a look at that. He says, "The son of man, take up a lamentation upon the king of Tyrus, and say unto him, thus saith the Lord God, thou sealest up the sum full of wisdom and perfect in beauty. Thou hast been in Eden, the garden of God." Now, we know that king of Tyrus was not in the Garden of Eden with Adam and Eve. We know that Satan was there. So this prophecy is having a shadow or reflection on who Satan was. It says, "Every precious stone was thy covering, the sardis, the topaz, and the diamond, the beryl, the onyx, the jasper, the sapphire, the emerald, and the carbuncle, and gold." So he was a very beautiful creature. It says the workmanship of their labrets and their pipes was prepared in the day that thou was created. So he's a musician. Thou art the anointed cherub that covereth. There again, you see, we're referring to Satan as a cherub. And I have set thee so that thou wast upon the holy mountain of God. Thou hast walked up and down in the midst of the stones of fire. Thou was perfect in thy ways from the day that thou was created. So we see that God created Satan till iniquity was found in thee. Now that's Ezekiel chapter 28 verses 12 through 15. So in this passage, Satan is described as the anointed cherub that covereth. He was created not as the devil. He wasn't created evil, but rather of a heavenly order of beings that we see as cherubim. And then Lucifer was created to cover or grace the throne of God. That was his job. These labrets and pipes are thought to be some type of musical instrument. So can you imagine that Satan was responsible for some of the heavenly music up in heaven? So that's why he really loves music down here, when he wants people to do all the bumping and stuff that they do, some of the crazy music that we hear. So our second point about Satan is his sin and his fall from heaven, where it says in Isaiah 14, "How art thou fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning? How art thou cut down to the ground, which didst weaken the nations?" So why did God so severely judge this mighty angel, this cherub? God's purpose in creation was to glorify his own name. But Satan had pride and was lifted up. God can't have that. So his big sin was his pride. If you look at Ezekiel 28 and verse 17, you'll see that thine heart was lifted up because of thy beauty. Thou hast corrupted thy wisdom by reason of thy brightness. He thought he was very beautiful. He thought he was, you know, the cat's meow, and he thought of himself as being higher than God. And that's when he and the angels got together, and there was a war in heaven. And the Bible says here in Ezekiel 28, "I will cast thee to the ground, I will lay thee before kings, that they may behold thee." So Satan, who was an angel and a cherub, if you will, whose job was to glorify the throne of God, but his beauty, he thought he was all that in a bag of chips, and God had to throw him and a third of the angels out of heaven. There's going to be judgment on Satan. He will be cast into the lake of fire. There's going to be a pit waiting for him with regards to the 1,000-year millennium of the kingdom of the Lord Jesus Christ. But Satan was responsible for bringing sin into the Garden of Eden. But when Adam sinned and fell, Adam was responsible for sin being in all of mankind. So it's not that the devil made me do it. It's because we listen to the devil. We have our own desire to disobey or to walk astray or to not follow the Lord. So those are the three doctrines that we studied today. It is the doctrine of creation, the doctrine of man, and the doctrine of Satan. There's far more that we could talk about, but we want to just kind of touch base here. The next time that we meet, we'll be talking about the local church Communion and baptism. The local church, communion and baptism. And we'll see you next time. Let us pray. Lord, we just thank you and we love you for your word. We are so grateful that you have revealed these things to us so that as we believe these doctrines, we're able to capture the messages that you give us when we're teaching, when we're preaching, when we're in our quiet time, because we have a good foundation of what it is that we believe. We thank you for New Berean Baptist Church. We pray that our church will continue to be like those Bereans, that we will search the scriptures to see whether the things that Paul and Silas or even Pastor Kaysen say are so. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.